What does one say in the midst of a pandemic when loads of people who are destitute queue up at SASSA offices expecting money? And just think about it. You need to feed your family. You need to make sure that, you know, your children can at least have bread. And if you don't have 2 cents to rub together, what are you going to do? You'll potentially put your life at risk. You will go and stand in a queue to see if government can continue giving you a grant that allows you to buy the bare minimum. At the moment, it's a mess. The Premier of the Western Cape raised this issue with the Premier, he tells me, on Sunday, with the President on Sunday. And once again, just from a person who does not understand all the inner workings, right? So I don't work in government, thank heavens. From where I'm standing, our priorities are screwed up. I have a lot of respect for Pravin Gordhan, but his arrogance around SAA irritates the living daylights out of me. 10 billion rand, and that's the start. Then you start this new airline, and it's going to sap more of the money that you work so hard for that goes into the fiscus. And we juxtapose that with people who can't even feed their children. Shauna Fernandez, MEC for Social Development, good to have you on the show.
Good morning, Kino, to you and Lorenzo Davids and the listeners. Thank you for the opportunity.
It's an absolute pleasure. And Lorenzo Davids, I'll not call him a rock star, but he's a good man. Does a lot of good stuff through Community Chest. When it comes to people in need, when it comes to giving people dignity, when it comes to just making sure that people create wealth so they can sustain themselves. This is what Community Chest is about. So, Lorenzo, thank you very much for joining us.
Good morning, Kina, and to you and the MEC. Good morning. Nice to be with you guys.
Okay. Now, Shauna, let's start with you, Mr. Fernandez. What is the picture like on the ground in the Western Cape at the moment?
Kina, it's a grim, dire situation. There are three components. The one is the humanitarian aspect. The other is the fact that beneficiaries are being criminalized because they are queuing up. And I listened to your introductory remarks. They're breaking the curfew to be first in the queue. And then, in my opinion, it is a question of priorities. We can prioritize 10.5 billion for SAA. But we cannot prioritize 1.2 billion, which will be required to stagger these grants until the end of March. I raised a red flag last week with Minister Zulu when we visited Masipumalele, and I alerted her that we are facing some serious headwinds. In our province, we have 52,000 temporary disability grants. Beneficiaries that are affected, and then there are 2,675 child dependency grants. These are children who are now adults who rely on a grant. So essentially we're talking about 55,000 people who now need to reapply from scratch.
Yep.
These grants, if I can just give you a background, these grants were expired in February 2020. Because of COVID, they were extended until the 31st of December. But what is staggering is the fact that there was no planning to stagger this process. Mm. So now we've suddenly cut people off. They need to reapply a brand new application. And as far as I know, I met with them yesterday. There are only 9 doctors in this province who will be dealing, who are tasked with assisting these 55,000 beneficiaries.
No.
I wrote a letter to Minister Zulu on Tuesday. I appealed to her. I said, please, we need your support. We need a detailed plan, this, this, and this. Yesterday, what SASSA has also done, they've centralized the coastal regions to the Eastern Cape, so we don't have a manager, regional manager in the Western Cape. We have a chief director, Mr. De Graal, goes off at the end of February. And the plan that was presented, it was a 10-point plan, was aspirational to say the least. It lacked the substance, but the bigger issue is that these events now become COVID super spreader activities. And I'm in receipt of correspondence from Dr. Corrigal, who works in the Atlantis Health sub-district, and she has raised some serious red flags, which the Premier is aware of. The Premier has raised it, addressed it with the President. I have addressed it with the Minister. But the situation or the solution that was posited was that we will give them numbers and they will go and visit the doctor. Guess what? Some people have received numbers to visit the doctor in June 2021.
Oh, no.
So that means beneficiaries are without a grant as of now until they get to the doctor. And then they still need to go back to SASSA to check if their application is successful.
Yeah. You know, Minister Fernandez, obviously this is the immediate problem that we have and it needs to be dealt with, and you raise core issues in relation to that. But I've been thinking about COVID-19 and why we find ourselves in this position. I mean, we had a technical recession before COVID. And in my opinion, and it might be wrong, might be right, I don't know. It's just how I feel about it. It's a failure of government at all levels. Right. And the failure of business at all levels that's given us the Gini coefficient that we have in this country. Idealistically, we shouldn't have your department. You should be a minister looking after, you know, job creation, right? And it is the excess wealth that corporates make while people can't buy a loaf of bread. And it's the corruption within government and the lack of governments, the inability of government to create jobs at the lowest, when I say the lowest level, I don't mean that in a condescending manner, but I'm talking about at a level where we're talking, people who just want to open up a spaza shop, who just want to make enough money and eventually grow those businesses into something where they can hire other people. It's been a lack of all of those that has brought us to where we are today. Would you agree?
Kira, I think, and I believe that we should place people at the center of what we do. Mm-hmm. I believe that communities and individuals are the agency, and they should be able to determine their future. But we have a situation where we've had a run of 10 years of an economy that was in distress. Then COVID came along. We saw 500 billion come and go. And I am appalled that the 1.2 billion ask is almost asking too much. It is a question of priorities. And you're right, we shouldn't have social development. We should have a department called community development that embraces communities and helps communities or works with communities to co-create. So there's a failure. And the other big thing is beneficiaries queuing in those queues don't understand the three spheres, local, provincial, and national government. To them, it's just government that has failed. More importantly, the drain, there are 18 million beneficiaries, and the taxpayer base is dwindling at an alarming rate. I think it's come down from 6 million to just over 4 million. And very soon, the scales are not going to balance. So we need to come up with a sustainable approach. And you know the definition of insanity? You keep doing the same thing, you get the same result. I mean, we are supposed to be in the fourth industrial revolution.
I don't even think we mastered the first one, Minister.
But we're still giving calling cards to people. Can you believe it?
It's crazy. I want to go to Lorenzo Davids, though, as well. Lorenzo, of course, is the CEO of Community Chest. And I remember doing an interview with him, Minister, earlier, a couple of months ago, as a matter of fact, where it was on another radio station. It was Radio Sonne Grenzer or Mensa or something like that. And he did this interview and he gave his number and he was inundated with calls from people across this country. Black, white, pink, yellow, green, even some purple people who contacted him and said that they are in dire, desperate need. And now we face this, Lorenzo. Once again, great to have you on the show. What's your take? I mean, the SASSA situation that we have at the moment.
Yeah, you know, I think it's an absolute disaster. I think Minister Fernandez is absolutely correct. This thing was entirely preventable. The minister, the national minister, should have automatically extended these grants. There's no way that the South African system can cope with the volumes. We're talking about in excess of 200,000 in the Western Cape. The minister says close to 60,000 renewals that must be done in the space of 3 months. The system just cannot cope with that. And the system doesn't cope with it because we've not designed ourselves, as you correctly said, to respond to a fourth industrial revolution mindset. So, one of the things we should do in this province, the minister and I have spoken about long queues at SASSA offices a while back in the middle of last year. One of the things we should do, Kino, is to capacitate mass institutions. So what we have now is the Philippian Guguletu and Elsie's River and Isterivier SASSA offices being inundated with people. And yet there are schools and universities and other mass institutions standing empty where these services could be rendered. Exactly. And we are not thinking broadly enough to say, where does the capacity exist to manage the system? We're all still trying to crowd people into 3x5 government offices that has resulted in this chaos that we see now. And I think it's time that national government begins to look at how do you decentralize the service, capacitate mass institutions to render the service so that there is intelligence in the system. There is no intelligence in the system right now.
And you know, I listen to you and I'm thinking, but hold on. Why is his voice not heard at a national level? Why is, and I know that Minister Fernandez and Minister Zulu, obviously, I mean, you have whatever they call it, MinMec or whatever that thing is. You guys obviously do communicate at that level. But we need more voices like that of Lorenzo Davids and a host of other people out there who can assist Minister to bring intelligence into the system.
Indeed, you might have noticed that Black Sash and Ground Up have also issued statements. But what is sad is that SASSA is considered, or SASSA is, a national entity. The CEO, Totsi, reports directly to Minister Zulu. So we have no control. And the fact that they have now, we don't have a regional manager, and we really work well with Henry de Graaf, who is also known to Lorenzo, because we coordinated many humanitarian efforts together. So my reason for meeting tomorrow is to actually start to provide the solutions. But what has happened now, the minister has flown in this morning. I got correspondence at 10:32 last night alerting me that she will be doing frontline site visits. My concern is, how does that solve the problem?
Yeah.
We should be talking to Treasury about freeing up money countrywide, because in Pietermaritzburg they're experiencing the same problem. So it's not just a Western Cape problem. And I'm concerned about the 2,700 children who are disabled, whose parents must now go in queue. Many parents take those disabled children with them in their queue. The risk of getting COVID is immense. And, you know, we were talking about a second wave. I fear that 2 weeks from now, in the next 10 to 14 days, we are likely to see the numbers spike. In Atlantis, there was absolute chaos. Counselors and community volunteers got involved, and they worked the list together with SASSA. But in some areas, even the SASSA staff don't understand. So the first thing I have asked Bandile yesterday is, how are you going to improve your communication to your beneficiaries and internally? So we do have challenges. And look, I remain committed to serving the most vulnerable, but there is no way that we, and when people called me up yesterday and said, Minister, I got a ticket for the 23rd of June, I was staggered, because that means for 6 months, that family, and then guess what? Let me alert you to something bigger. At the end of this month, the 350 social relief of distress grant finishes. Oh. We will then have 400,000 people in this province who will not have access to that 350 any longer. And that is the train that's coming. So the temporary disability, you know, looking at 55,000, I'm sure if we pull together, we can work around it because we can, there are options. But when the entire country loses that 350 rand social relief of distress grant, we are going to experience a humanitarian crisis of note in this country, and not unless the president and the NCCC Treasury get their minds and their priorities right around funding. And we understand we can't keep throwing money, but I don't believe this is throwing money. This is actually assisting the most vulnerable to maintain. And what happens to dignity when you stand in a queue like that? When you sleep on a cardboard and the police arrest you because you have broken the curfew?
Absolutely. Lorenzo Davids, in closing, just your comments.
Yeah, you know, let me just quickly comment and say the any actuary can tell you that the cost of the grant right now is small change. If that just under 2 billion that's required to extend this grant is not paid, the health cost is triple that amount. The health damage that is done to these people, both mentally, socially, and physically, and infection rates, is going to either triple or quadruple. So the minister is going to end up being responsible for 8 to 10 billion in terms of medical health and related costs if she doesn't pay the 2 billion. And that's the lack of intelligence that is so pervasive in the logic here. It's a complete disaster.
We try to get hold of the minister's office, but they are about as useless as whoever had to organize this thing in the first place. So we will continue pushing to get them on. But I just go back to your point, Lorenzo, bringing intelligence into the system. You can't sit with an echo chamber where, you know, you hear the same things over and over and over again. You need to broaden your scope. You need to hear what other capable people have to say, and even more importantly, have to do to try and find a solution. And this is not happening. So, you know, even and I think medium to long term, we should also look at wealth creation as a key priority in this country, and not just for Adrian Gore. We talk about the average person living in a township, living on the Cape Flats, living in a middle-class neighborhood. This is what we need to be looking at a lot more feverishly than we are.
Absolutely. I agree with you, Kina. I think there's lots of work to be done here. The minister's meetings or visit with the MEC today is great, and hopefully that be a sweep. But what is really required is a meeting of the minds of people who know how to manage mass distribution of services. Those are the people you need in the room right now, because this is a humanitarian crisis, as Minister Fernandez said.
And it's going to get even bigger, as the minister alluded to earlier as well. So, Minister Fernandez, I want to thank you for your time.